Hey, this is Richard Deitch, the host of the Sports Media Podcast. If you're interested in what's happening with all the places where you consume sports, the Sports Media Podcast has you covered.
I've been turning down interviews all week. Hoda Kotb reached out, Oprah, George Stephanopoulos. So I said no. I was booked on the Deitch Podcast before the Taylor Swift phenomenon. I must live up to my responsibility.
Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan, asking the questions that matter. Like, do you ever equate the personality of an actor or actress to roles they have continually played? That's probably
sometimes
not fair.
I do.
But do you ever think, like, that guy's a jerk. He's going to cheat on his wife because you saw it in three different movies. Not necessarily true. You got me, Kevin Hagelin. You got, Corey Majors.
Oh, man.
And, of course, the famous, I'll see you at Cold Beers and Cheeseburgers tonight, Alec Medford. Gentlemen, how the heck you doing today? How the heck is everybody out there in Radio Land? 877-881-1053. Franklin, injury attorney, text line, or the Twitch, or the YouTube.
Have you ever seen a man disappear right before your eyes?
No. Have you?
I grew up watching Chris Angel and people like that, so yeah.
Oh, no. You just got mind freaked. Remember when he was on our plane?
Yeah, but wasn't it not him? It was the other guy?
There was a lot of confusion about whether it was Chris Angel or the other
David
guy.
David Blaine.
Oh, yeah.
It was so...
nothing alike.
But my theory was it was David Blaine, and then I got changed into Chris Angel, and that was the mind freak.
We were on our flight out to Oxnard. And Kevin and I go to, economy class or whatever it was. And Derek is like, hey, guys, y'all have fun. I'm going to hang out up here in first class. And we were like, of course, former Major League Baseball player.
Right.
And he texts us and he goes, guys, the mind freak Chris Angel's on our flight. And I was like, what? This is crazy. We never got up there because, they don't want us up there. And so we get off the plane. I never saw him because first class gets off the plane first. But then Derek was like, midway through the flight, I realized it was David Blaine. He was really cool. We sat and talked the whole time, and I was like, this is really wild. But I think Kevin's idea might be right. Here's what happened this morning.
Question.
Okay.
Do you think a low-key important part of first class is they close that little curtain to also make you feel like you're better than everybody else?
Oh, absolutely. I've been in first class before. Once that curtain closes, I'm like...
We got midday money now.
Those people can't come up and use this restroom.
Oh man,
they're on the other side of the curtain. Somebody will stop them if they open that curtain and say, "You're going to have to go over to the back of the plane and you're going to use this one right here." And they do it quietly because they don't want to disturb us first class people.
They don't want to cause a scene that will ruin your enjoyment of first class.
Yeah.
Corey.
All right. It is first class is a wild place. Thanks to Kevin though. But this morning. I was driving to work, listening to Sean and RJ and Kevin.
Yeah!
And we have, in this general vicinity near us, there are some unhoused folks around here.
Mm.
And
do you think Ben Stiller would walk right past that person?
Probably
too?
So. And there was a guy walking in the road at my exit, like near the... I was watching this guy walking on the road, just about a foot into the road, off the curb. And I'm like, I'm going to have to go around him. I knew exactly what was going on. I never took my eyes off this guy. And then all of a sudden, he wasn't there. Like, just out of nowhere, the dude's no longer, he didn't step to the side off into he just disappeared. And so I have two schools of thought here. One, Harry Potter exists. Like, this is a real thing. 9 3/4 is right over here off the exit at Midway or Mid Park or whatever.
Is that your leading candidate for likelihood?
No.
Okay.
I'm losing my mind. Oh. So that's my leading candidate, but I want to believe 9 3/4.
Right.
And then option three. Oh, actually, I don't know. There's no option three. It's one of those two. So what I'm hoping is that some people have seen somebody actually disappear right before their eyes so that I can be like, okay, this is not me. This is something that actually happened from the 972. Aww. My dad, I grew up and watched him disappear right before my eyes.
Cosign.
Oh, no.
That happened with my dad, too.
Dude, Carter's always like, when I say I'm going to go get some milk, he's like, no. And he screams and comes and hugs me.
Yeah,
and I'm
come
like,
on, Carter. Everybody knows it's cigarettes. You're going to go out and get a pack of cigarettes, and you're going to leave your family.
Yeah, one day.
That's common knowledge.
One day I said that, and he was like, you don't smoke? And I was like, yeah, I'll be back.
Yeah, that's the thing. You do drink milk. It's you need to be on the lookout for a thing that you don't normally do.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
And like if you said you're going to go ride horses, I'd be like, hold on. Are you leaving the family?
He doesn't ride horses.
Exactly.
He could die.
Exactly.
So yeah, that's I just was hoping because I did see a guy disappear right before my eyes today. So
do you think there's any chance, Alec, I'm going to ask you this, that this is one of those situations where if he asked around about it, they'd be like, oh, yeah, old Joe, he's been dead for 10 years.
Oh.
You think that's possible?
Yes. And now I want that to be the story so Corey goes even more insane.
Yeah.
Is that what happens after that, that person goes more insane?
I don't know. I've never specifically been in that situation, but I like to think that is what happens.
He hasn't lived here for 15 years.
I've always wanted somebody to tell me that, although, to be fair, in my situation, don't you feel like I would be the guy who'd be like, don't listen to him. She was just here a couple days ago. Like, I would be the person to probably ruin that fun, right?
From the 858, haven't had anyone disappear before my eyes. Had a dozen donuts disappear into my tummy. And from the 469, that was a lizard person that saw you. He shed his skin and skedaddled away.
That's, man!
I like this from the 469, floating planes, man. Remember when Dawson was saying
floating planes? I do remember that.
That was...
What was it that Rod Stewart made disappear?
Dude, I don't know how many people know who Rod Stewart is.
Alec, do you know that urban legend?
I don't.
Just type in.
No.
Okay.
Don't. Make sure you're logged in as Aiden or Jacob if you're going to do that.
I'll tell you later. Can I ask you a quick homeless question that I've always wondered?
Unhoused.
No. So, yeah, I mean, you know what? Actually, that kind of makes sense, because I guess a home is more of an abstract concept as opposed to a, all right, I kind of get you there. Does it ever weird you out when they have a cell phone?
Dude, this goes back to the time I was at 7-Eleven.
Okay, yeah.
Over off 30-ish, somewhere over there. I was working at Channel 33, and I stopped at the 7-Eleven, and this dude walks up to me and he's like, hey man, let me borrow your cell phone. And I was like, I don't have a cell phone. He goes, how the F do you not have a cell phone? I was like, how the F do you not have a cell phone?
Oh my goodness.
And then I went inside and got stuff and I walked outside and he was getting punched by another guy who I guess he'd gotten really, he got aggressive to a guy.
Oh no.
And so then I pulled out my phone and shot a video of it and he was like, I knew
Shut up. That is... Please tell me that last part didn't happen. That's so
rude. On WorldStar.
Okay.
But yeah, no, there are moments when I'm like, those are some really nice shoes. Or, you know, I have no clue. And I know some people have theories that I saw a guy, you know, he was trying to ask for money and then he went and got his Cadillac. And I'm like, okay, I don't know if I've ever seen anything like that before.
But we've all heard that urban legend, right? Or maybe it's not. And they're like, they make $70,000 a year doing that. I'm like, I don't know.
I don't know how, like, I don't know how, what, maybe they go and get a burner phone and, you know, what are they connecting to? Who are they talking to? I have no clue. I don't know what that community's like, but I know that there's a lot. I mean, think of the network we saw in San Francisco. We've seen a lot in other states, too, and it's not an easy thing to deal with, but there you go.
Alec, did you get to tell us how you're doing today, or did we just go right into all of this?
We kind of just went into it because, you know, the intrusive thoughts of the major's mind always prevail, especially on a Friday. But no, I'm doing great because we get to chant and get rowdy tonight at Cold Beers and Cheeseburgers in Euless.
So I want to talk about that. And this is not just about Cold Beers and Cheeseburgers, though obviously I am expecting that place to be loaded with people and be super rowdy. But beyond just tonight or beyond just that location, do you get the sense that the United States is ready to, like, really embrace this tournament. Now, like, in Mexico...
Because it's on our home soil?
Exactly. And so, like, in Mexico, we already talked about it yesterday, is they let everybody out of school for traffic purposes. You've seen all these, like, public watch parties and everything because they were already playing. And I'm sure you'll see some excitement tonight. I have no doubt about that. But, like, the tournament as a whole, or soccer as a whole, is this country ready to embrace all of that?
A couple things. Mexico, you brought that up. Did you see the amount of green jerseys at both matches last night, yesterday?
Right.
Like, obviously having it in their place and it was their team playing right then to open things up, that was awesome for them. But then they, you know, there were even more that night, and that was awesome too. So, like, that was, I hope to see some events in the U.S. like that too, where it's like, oh, the American people are still here supporting this because they want to be around this, and they were able to get tickets, obviously. Like, that's been the big fear for everybody, right?
I mean, by the way, I went to the official FIFA site, and the cheapest tickets I saw for any of the Dallas matches were $750 per ticket.
Was that the secondary market?
No, that was odd. Yeah.
Dan Hunt said yesterday there is also a secondary market on the FIFA side.
Right.
So I don't know if that's any cheaper.
I just feel like if I'm going to go that way, it's going to be the night before or like the morning of and hope you get a price break. Because Those are the cheapest ones, $750. And while I even consider that, somebody picked them up. And then the cheapest for any of the other matches was $1,190 per ticket.
Then I think that the answer to your question is yes. I think they are ready for it. But one of the, like, I mean, the more you, we've discussed this for years, for the U.S. team to be really good at soccer, Mike was probably one of the first people I heard say it, the guys like LeBron and CeeDee Lamb have to not play football or basketball.
Right.
They have to decide that soccer is the most important sport because those are the most athletic dudes in sports.
Yeah, like you look at, like, I'm not saying they're the exact same size, but you look at somebody like Yamin Lamal, who next face of soccer, probably currently the face of soccer, everything like that, is that does kind of feel LeBron-esque, mm-hmm. where he was the next king, but it was for basketball. And for Yamal, they're like, you're going to play basketball? Get the hell out of here. Mm-hmm. Come on, dude.
Yeah, and that's the sport of soccer here, which is growing. The MLS is growing. And Messi being here is a good thing for
it. I definitely think that helps.
Like, Messi continues to keep that intrigue. But football, NFL is king. Everybody wants to play it. Americans want to watch it. Like, we talk about the ratings for it all the time. And the MLS is slowly getting there. But this could be similar to the Four Nations or the Olympics. This could be something that it seems, Kevin, that the younger people want these experiences of going to these sporting events.
Right.
They want the experiences of watching these, but they also, like, that they're craving it more because you talked about the ratings for the finals for both are up.
Yep.
And I think that there's something about right now you might be capturing the bright audience in America for this. I think so.
Is there an inherent disadvantage just kind of based off of what you're saying is like, so you mentioned Messi. But his team's been really good. They set the record, I think, 2 years ago for most regular season points. And then last year, I believe, they won the title. So they're really good. You mentioned Olympic hockey. The United States men's and women's teams both won gold. You mentioned the Four Nations. You were in the final. If you go back to what felt like the peak of the World Baseball Classic, it was when the final was between, one of those key at-bats was between two Major League Baseball players, and America was in the final. Finals. Whereas with this World Cup, don't you feel like if the United States made it to, like, let's even say the quarterfinals, that feels like that would be pretty astonishing. And so that's what I wonder is, I'm not disputing any of what you're saying, but I wonder with all of those other examples, the United States is very good at those things. Whereas this tournament, they're decidedly mediocre.
Mm-hmm. No, you're right.
And so that's what I wonder, because we love winners. So, like,
But what have we done every year to prepare for this? We've done a little thing. Or every 4 years we do this. We go find a generator that we answer questions and it helps us select a team.
Sure.
You know, so because we're like, we know the U.S. doesn't have a chance, so
yeah.
Let's find interest in something else. Whereas I think, Kevin, if the U.S. was better, you might have less people going, what is the World Cup? You know, or
sure.
and less people and more people that are that invested and not trying to find another team to root for. That's probably one of the reasons that there isn't more intrigue in it sometimes from the people in the U.S. because they're like, I don't know any of these players.
Yeah.
I don't know, like, who am I supposed to root for? Well, the U.S. is in it. Root for them. Hey, give them a shot. They might not win it all, but you're right. We do love winners, but let's see how far they can get in this thing.
Because the success of the women has carried over to a certain extent to the NWSL, but if the American men went on a run on their home soil, it does feel like that would really have a lot of ancillary benefits for MLS and other things like that, or maybe even streamlining more athletes beyond soccer in high school or when they were younger and saying, okay, this is what, forget basketball, forget football, this is what I want to do with my life.
We need to tell the kids they can't play soccer because then they'll want to play soccer.
Oh, yeah.
Stop taking them every Saturday and giving them orange slices.
Hey y'all, Poodle and Maddie here from Reality Gaze. Grab your favorite thong because for the first time, we're heading to the villa for the new season of Love Island USA.
I can't wait to watch Ariana babysit these shiny, oiled up adults who I'm pretty sure aren't there for the right reasons.
From the home-wrecking bombshells to the absolute wreckage of movie night.
Pull up a daybed and join us every Wednesday for all the Love Island USA drama.
Find Reality Gaze wherever you get your podcasts.
And Capri Suns, you know, tell them, hey, you can't go play soccer. What are you talking about? And they're going to be like, they're going to hide under their sheets and like watch videos of soccer at night.
Sure.
And then that's the way to do it, dude.
Yeah. And to really make the game grow, you can be like, and your girlfriend can't play soccer either.
Yeah.
And they're like, you never keep us apart. We're going to be soccer's power couple. And all of a sudden, we have like our 8 best players on either side, or, you know.
And then they have soccer babies. And then, yeah.
Oh, soccer babies. That is the next generation of excellence. You know what? I've never really tracked, like, do people in Spain and France, do their best soccer players have babies with other really good soccer players? And you're like, yeah, that's why we're going to win the World Cup in 20 years, because we got this new army of soccer babies coming up.
I might have an answer for you on that.
Oh, I look forward to that. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, Vegas, Carolina, Game 5 leads off our NBA and NHL Finals
super segment
right here on The Fan.
His goals in 4 of the 6 games since he came back, 2 in this series. Down low, they score! And it's Jordan Staal again on the tip-in to tie it at 1.
KNC Masterpiece back here on 105.3 The Fan, and right now, it's time for our NBA and NHL Finals
super segment.
Are you okay if we start off with hockey since we just played that highlight?
Yes.
So for the second time, I believe in as many days, or perhaps the second time in the last 3 days, we have a fun and wacky stat for you. Jordan Staal has now scored a goal in 5 straight Stanley Cup final games. Only 5 players in the history of hockey have done that, including Cyclone Taylor from the 1918, you guessed it, Vancouver Millionaires.
I did not guess that.
Okay. But you did know about the Vancouver Millionaires.
Yeah, because they have an amazing sweater.
Do you think how... It's really weird, probably, if you're like a Montreal Canadiens fan from the 50s to the 70s, because 3 of the 5 players are from them, 51, 56, and 73. And the other 2 are the Vancouver Millionaires and the Carolina Hurricanes. Can you imagine explaining to Montreal that Carolina was going to have a team, let alone a thriving team in the year 2026?
I never thought about that at all. No, back in the day, I was like, man, the fact that Texas had a hockey team.
Right.
You know,
that would probably,
surprise.
And we won the cup. That would probably be like, what?
Yeah.
And Canada hasn't. So you look at this game, the Hurricanes take the advantage. They win 5-3 yet again, dominating in the third period. We have talked about this. I'm sorry. I said 5-3. That is not accurate. 4-2. And they take the lead 3-2 in this series.
5-3 would have kept up with what was has been going on.
Yeah,
this
yeah.
is the lowest scoring one so far.
Is that right? Six
yeah.
goals is the lowest.
It was 9-7, 9-8, and 6.
Wow.
Yeah.
That is, I mean, it's been a really fun series. No doubt part of the reason that the ratings have gone up. Now we get to this, and this is why, you know, I was probably rooting for Carolina because Vegas has screwed us over plenty of times, but now I'm definitely rooting for Carolina because John Tortorella, who has already cost his team a second-round pick by being too scared to talk to the media, he said they'll be back for Game 7. Specifically, he said, we'll be back here. I'm going to leave my clothes here, that's for sure. They'll be in the hotel.
Really?
First of all, I don't really think that's how hotel rooms work unless you have booked them all the way through, mm-hmm. to which point, good job for your team's budget.
Did he say he was going to leave it in the room at the hotel?
He said they'll be in the hotel.
Well, they might just be at the hotel.
That's true.
You know,
do
you can
you
just leave stuff downstairs.
Just keep them up on that stand,
be like, hey, hold
for
on
a
to
few
this.
Days.
Hold on to this for me for a few days. I'll be back.
I mean, possible.
Like, that's what we did at that hotel in San Francisco. We dropped our luggage off and said, we'll be back for it later on this afternoon. I did that. I don't know if you did.
Yes.
And we've done that before, so maybe you can do it for a few days.
Okay.
Like Herm Edwards. I got to ride the elevator with his Hall of Fame coat and his other luggage. And what?
That's how you know you've really made it.
Yeah, getting to ride an elevator with a coat.
With a jacket.
And they put some of those coats. Like, I watched them go back in there, and I was like, how long are they going to keep those?
Right.
So maybe that's what he's talking about.
Well, he was also asked about the status of his goaltending and if he would consider going to Aiden Hill in the third period. Because if you look at Carter Hart, I believe he's given up 4 goals in every single one of the games. Ooh. And they were already down 3-1. And he said, quote, Christ, that could be the stupidest question I've heard.
Well,
I mean, Hart has a sub 870 save percentage. I don't think it's that dumb of a question.
I don't think it's that dumb of a question either. I do understand.
But that guy's kind of a jackass.
When you're like, we've gotten to this point. Like, why am I going to change my mind about it, right. like, right now?
You know what my response would be to that? Because Carolina had the best player in all of the playoffs, and they switched goalies, and now they're beating you.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
I don't know if he was given a follow-up.
It sounds like a coach who's just not happy they're losing.
Right.
You know?
But he's still confident enough to say, I'm leaving my suit in the hotel.
It's weird leadership right there, dude.
It is. All right, so my question then becomes this. Are we just going to get one more game of this series? So game 6 is set for Sunday night. Do you think that's the end of the road now that Carolina has built up a little bit of momentum and for the first time in this series they have taken the lead? Or do you think with the dizzying highs and lows of this series it feels inevitably destined to go 7?
I think it's destined to go 7.
I could see that.
Just because... You know, third periods haven't been super nice to Carolina anyway. And I don't think any lead is really safe with Carolina or Vegas.
Definitely Vegas. Vegas has had some tough third periods.
But I just don't think that there's a safe lead at all.
Okay.
You can have a good start to a game and then all of a sudden things aren't going well for you the next period. And so like that, and because they've been making these adjustments back and forth. Now, here's the thing, though. We always used to talk about DeBoer, Game 7, he had the extra adjustment for you most times, right? He always seemed to have that, I got you, I figured it out. We had something in our back pocket the entire time, and we got you. And I don't know how many coaches always have something like that. Usually after you get past 6, it's like, okay, we're just going to throw everything out there tonight, guys. We don't have anything else left, so we just go do what we did and hope we win this one.
Now, winning Game 5 is huge, but it's not as definitive as you might think in the Stanley Cup Final.
It's pivotal.
It was pivotal. You're right about that. But when the series is tied 2-2, the winner of Game 5 goes on to win 74% of the time. So essentially 3 out of 4 times, which if you're Vegas, you're like, okay, well, that's not the most overwhelming odds I've heard. So positive potential for them.
Yeah, no, I mean, this is, it's been a very fun series.
True.
And it was.
So true.
Yeah, it was everything we kind of asked for out of the final.
Has it already been better than you thought it would?
For sure.
That's what I think.
Because the scoring, like, it hasn't been boring. Again, I still can't figure out if it's good, opportunistic, or bad hockey. But it's been exciting no matter what. Because, you know, I was talking about shows that keep tension.
Right.
These games have kept tension throughout each game.
Absolutely.
And that's been the intriguing part of it.
I love this comparison from the 214. John Tortorella looks like one of your one dad of your friend that when he comes home from work and sees you over, he audibly sighs. I could totally see that. By the way, one more NHL note for you. Nikita Kucherov won his second MVP, beating out Connor McDavid and Nathan MacKinnon. All right, let's go from that to, hey, it's the super segment. So let's do
super segment.
Some NBA. And we have to start with
this. Is this MNBA?
It is MNBA.
Okay.
Thank you for clarifying on that. And one of the things that sucks with the 2-2-1-1-1 now is you don't get the fifth straight day of finals. You have to wait until Saturday. So NBA Finals, Game 5 on Saturday, NHL Stanley Cup Final, Game 6 on Sunday, and then there's a big gap again. It would be Tuesday and then Wednesday for the respective 6 and 7.
It's ridiculous.
If those series go on. Yeah! Now, I want to take you to this amazing wager, because it took place on Kalshi. And Corey, you can make a lot of fun plays, have a blast on Kalshi, or you could make this play.
When the stakes rise and the lights get bright, that's when you find out who can really swim. Deep Waters is a new UFC podcast from CBS Sports. Every Monday, myself, Dean Thomas, alongside with legends of the sport, Chris Weidman, Jorge Masvidal, and Dustin Poirier, bring you inside the octagon like no one else can. Deep Waters, new episodes every Monday. Watch on YouTube or listen on Apple, Spotify, and everywhere else you get podcasts.
Oh, no.
A person has bet $448,000 that OG Anunoby will not win finals MVP. The payoff for that is $9,500. They bet $448,000 with the hope of making a profit of $9,500. If OG Anunoby shows out on Saturday, and the Knicks win the title, there is a real chance that he could be named Finals MVP.
So this is okay. A lot of times, Kevin, I've made this decision when Reggie was on the show with us. Reggie was our old producer. Now he's down in Houston, rocking radio. Mm. Has his own show.
That's true.
Successful show. Just got back from Italy, I believe.
Oh, he's fancy. He's got that midday money.
We used to discuss these ridiculous bets, and it would make us all angry, right?
Right.
Here's what I've decided. This is whenever you and you have some money, okay? You have some money. I'm going to assume
that as well.
And his friend has some money.
Okay.
Right? And his friend, they're arguing one night, and he's like, dude, OG's going to win MVP. And he's like, no, he's not. And he's like, yes, he is. And they start arguing back and forth. And they're like, all right, fine. Go put some money on it that he won't. And he's like, okay, all right, fine. So he goes and instead of having the $400,000, he puts it on there. And he's like, there you go. All right, see, I did it now. And so I think that's what happened here.
It's just,
that's ridiculous, ridiculous thing, though.
We are perilously close. At worst, he's the third favorite to win MVP. And if the Knicks win, he's the second favorite to win MVP right now.
Has he not had two of the most impactful plays?
Absolutely.
Positive plays? Because I
absolutely
would say negatively, De'Aaron Fox and Wimby and Castle have combined for two of the worst plays.
True.
So I would say that he's had two of the most impactful plays in this series.
Now let's talk about those impactful plays. So they happened in the game on Wednesday night. The day before, so June 9th, 186 items of OG Anunoby sold on eBay. All right, 186 for the whole day of any kind. That game ended at what, like 10:20-ish?
Mm-hmm.
The next day, by 8 a.m., 2,639 items of OG Anunoby had sold on eBay.
You serious?
So what is that? Like 15 times as much in the span of probably about 12 hours during and after that game.
I think I have some of his rookie cards, dude.
Well, if you were ever going to sell them, I would do that for a buy it now before Saturday's game.
Okay.
Because,
buy it now.
I was looking at it, and I have like a fairly run-of-the-mill, but it's an Anunoby autograph, and it's been like 30, and you look in the last 3 days, $40, $50, $78. And I was like, all right. I mean, so if I were going to sell it, now's the time. You'd want to immediately jump in on that. Now, what is the crowd going to look like for this game? Keep in mind, these are on secondary ticket sites. But right now, the top billing states for Game 5 of the NBA Finals, Texas at 12%, New York 37% of secondary ticket sales have come from somebody who is registered in New York. So to
You're
our point
right, yeah.
about discussing it, the people from New York feel like maybe not overwhelm, but they're going to be a hefty presence at this game tomorrow night.
I'm kind of curious about this. How many of those people get down here and go buy a cowboy hat and boots immediately? And they're like, oh, we gotta go get a cowboy hat. And how many people that have never been down here? And they're just like, this is a great chance to go to Texas. When are we ever going to have this opportunity again? I could see that.
Yeah.
Like, this is just a great chance to go down to Texas and hang out. Also, it's so much cheaper if you want to get to the game. That's a key. But while you're doing it, make something of it, right? Like,
yes.
Make it a trip. Make it fun.
The get-in price, by the way, has gone up $1,000 because of this.
Yeah, in San Antonio?
It was at about $1,500. Now it's about $2,500 because of that. But what's the get-in price going to be for Madison Square Garden on Game 6? Like, even up to the last minute, it's still going to be like $8,000 or something crazy.
I do. So, like, Taylor Swift showing up. They have the private entrances for VIPs at Madison Square Garden.
And then they get to sit on the celebrity row.
Yeah, and big security stuff, too. I don't know that they have that, the same kind of security in San Antonio. So I wonder.
Right.
Like, they're still, I mean, Chalamet's been there. Ben Stiller's been there. They're still there. Are they still going to make it down to this one? Why would you miss this one at this point?
Yeah.
Unless you have filming to do or something.
We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, it's time for Baseball Nuggets, where the Rangers win their fourth straight series. We'll do that next right here on The Fan.
3-2 again. Hit hard. Right side. Base hit out into right field. Duran being waved around third. The throw going to third. Play at third. And out there is Berger. Nice throw from Lane Thomas in right field to chop Jake Berger down, but for Evan Carter, it's an RBI single, and the Rangers lead 4-2.
Yeah, good job, buddy. You got an out there. Way to go. Your team still lost the game. So the Rangers are victorious 4-2 over the Royals. They win the series. That is now four series in a row. CRI, if you prefer, probably not that. So they win 4-2, and it put the Rangers back at 500. And I know Skip the other day was like, hey, we're not going into these games going, man, we really need to get to 500 today. But this was their sixth opportunity to get back to 500 since May 1st.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously they had lost the other ones. So they are now at 500 for the first time since May 1st. Also, they turned not one, not two, but three 4-6-3 double plays. And I know you can never just take the double play for granted, especially with the speed of so many hitters out there. But three 4-6-3 double plays, a neat day for that.
Yes, neat is a good word for that. It was, well, we were three going into the fourth inning, and maybe it was around the fourth inning. I heard Mike and Dave Raymond going, man, Rocker's been really good today. You know, like, they were really ecstatic about it, and all of a sudden, like, next thing you know, he loads the bases.
Yep.
You're like, dude, Like, what was going so well, and then what happened, and why couldn't you adjust and get back out of it? But just kind of listening to Matt Hicks before the game, too, talk about the growth of Rocker this year. He's like, he's the pitcher for me that I think has grown the most this year, like, in developing into what he needs to become. And he's still got a trajectory that has the arrow going up, but there's still a lot of work to do.
And that was at least where you got one of the double plays, right? Because single, and then walk, maybe strategic.
And sometimes you need to get bailed out like that. You know?
And then you got the double play. I think what was disappointing to me about that was you get the double play, so of course one run scores, but now you have two outs, and you don't have to particularly worry about the base runners just as much in that moment that you did before, and then the very next hitter gets a single.
Mm-hmm.
And you're like, dang it, I felt like it was set up for you to get out of this jam with bases loaded, no outs, with only one run, and you were already up 3-1. Now it's 3-2. Now, I know, obviously, they ended up winning the game, but shout out to that audio that we played to make it 4-2. But you would have loved to see that be 3-1 and have just a little bit more breathing room right there.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Absolutely. It was nice that Corey Seager launched one yesterday. He's been pretty good in his career against Michael Wacha.
If only we had the audio that we could play that. Give me cut number four!
Right, top half of the third. It's Seager, Young, and Nimmo coming up for the Rangers. First pitch, Corey Seager hits it high, hits it deep to right. Thomas is back, turning to look, and it's gone. Into the bullpen. Corey Seager, his ninth home run of the year. And the Rangers lead 3-0.
Now, one other thing to go along with this game, because you heard those highlights or listened to the game right here on 105.3 The Fan. But then, of course, it was the fact that the game was set to start with a first pitch of 1:12. There was more than a two-hour delay in the start of the game, because obviously in Kansas City it rained buckets, except there was literally no rain. Evan Grant tweeted out, "The grounds crew is coming on the field. Not a drop of rain has fallen at Kauffman Stadium. They will prepare the field and we will play. A nearly two-hour delay for no precipitation. Got it. It was a bad look for everyone. And then Jared wore a rain jacket / poncho in the postgame, even though it wasn't raining there either, just to openly mock the ridiculousness of what the Royals did. And Alec, as you and I were talking about before the game, it feels like strictly a strategic thing because they're like, well, we don't want to burn Michael Wacha to get out there, pitch one inning, and then have to sit. And he did end up pitching seven innings.
Yeah, I heard them. I heard Jared say that too. I was, you know, we were leaving the Specs yesterday, saying goodbye to Ken Hill and Darren Oliver, and I was listening to Dave Raymond and Jared talk, and Dave Raymond goes, and I just got a little whisper in my ear that we're in a delay.
Yeah.
And Jared goes, ha, 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 that's funny. Like he was like, there's no, that's a good joke. You know, and he even was like, David is joking now. He's like, no, I'm dead serious. Like, they're telling me that. And Jared goes, there's a cloud in the sky. What's happening right now? And then all of a sudden, yeah, I called you up and was like, Kevin, this is crazy. What's happening right now?
Yeah, and it made me nervous. I was like, oh, crap, do I need to turn back around to the Specs? And he goes, well, we're tearing the table down, so not really.
This is the Joe Girardi. Remember the Joe Girardi game where it was late on like a Thursday night, and Joe Girardi, they were in a rain delay, you know, maybe after the sixth inning or into the sixth inning, right before it. And Girardi's like, no, this is against the Rangers. He's like, we're going to wait this thing out.
Yeah.
And it's 12 o'clock, 12:30, heading into 1 o'clock in the morning. And he's like, okay, now we can finish playing this game. Everybody's like, what are you doing right now, dude?
Yeah.
Why would you do something like that? But that's what they decided to do. It worked out in the Rangers' favor.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, somebody asked this, and it's probably always helpful to reset this, from the 469. Can you guys explain the difference between the numbers behind a certain double play? I followed baseball for most of my life, never understood that. It is strictly in reference to the positions that make the double play.
Yep.
So pitcher is one, catcher is two, First base is 3. Second base is 4. They tell the shortstop to suck it. Third base is 5. Shortstop is 6.
That's always been weird to me.
It is.
I never understood
the
it.
The other thing that's weird is then they reverse the order in the outfield. And they're like, hey, I know we started over here, but now for the outfield, we're just going to go the continuation, except we bounce back to shortstop, and then we go back again. And so then left field is 7-8, and not left field 7, center field 8, right field 9. And that's why your most classic double play will be the 4-6-3, because you'll hit the grounder to second base, flips it to the shortstop, who's got momentum on their side to not only touch the bag, but fire off probably a better throw.
Yeah, no, and it does 4-6-3 sounds a lot cooler than 4-5-3, so maybe that's the reason they did that.
Okay.
It does. There's something that scratches my
right
brain
about
a little
that.
Bit
no,
about
No, I think
it.
You're right about that.
So maybe that's why they decided that. I have no clue why they decided to go 6 for shortstop. It doesn't make any sense, but who is on first?
I mean, to be fair, I didn't look into 1880s baseball when they're like, well, hold on, Abner. We probably need another guy right there, don't you think?
Oh, man, that's good.
The, you know, how's the second baseman supposed to handle both sides of that bag? I actually don't know the answer to that.
Looking
by the
it
way,
up right now.
Shout out to Jacob Latz.
Oh, the position originally played in the outfield rather than the infield.
Oh.
I don't know if they had 4 outfielders or like a the rover.
Okay,
they had a rover, but the shortstop wasn't like there were 3 infielders and then 4 outfielders. So that's why it was a 6.
Almost feels like a shift before it was really a shift.
Yeah, it was a rover.
Okay, well, come on over. So Jacob Latz,
because remember. You needed a rover. You needed like an official cutoff man because the stadiums were 900 feet to center field. The polo.
And everyone wore a suit and your glove didn't even close all of the way. Baseball
and
used to be crazy.
You just left your glove at your spot.
Yeah.
You would get done with the inning and just throw your glove down on the ground and run off to the dugout.
Baseball used to be wild.
Prance back out to the outfield.
Jacob Latz had pretty much of a perfect appearance yesterday as you can. He pitched 2 innings. And threw 15 pitches.
Yep. 7 in the first inning that he threw.
And then
8 in the next one.
He really labor for 8 in the second one. He threw 1 not strike. So there's that. And he had 3 strikeouts. I talked about this in the morning show. It was a curious bit of scoring there because they gave Latz the win as opposed to Ahlstrom, who came in after Rocker and didn't then give Latz the save, which, I mean, I'm sure he'll tell you, like, hey, we won the game. Who cares? But for somebody who, like, usually people in that position will get paid by the save, kind of feels like the save might have been better off for him. Now, it's not just Rangers. It is baseball nuggets. Wanted to throw this out there as something we need to keep track of. Shohei Ohtani left the game for the Dodgers yesterday with left knee inflammation. Now, the Dodgers are optimistic, but when you have the best player on planet Earth and he needs to leave the game, obviously there could be reason for concern there.
Is this something that like Advil can't fix or
I don't know, but probably
just take 2 a leave and we'll
probably
see
like
in the morning.
Shohei doesn't operate under the same things as like we got to suck it up.
Yeah,
they're like, hey, buddy, we paid you $700 million eventually.
He's also not like you Darvish too, right? Where
right.
It's like constantly you're like, oh my gosh, is this guy okay?
Yeah.
This dude, he's, you know, seemed about the stuff that he's dealt with has seemed serious. That's kept him from pitching or kept him out for a while. Like, those are the kind of things. He's one of those guys that he's like, I would like to be out on the field because I like playing baseball.
And then Brent Doyle for the Colorado Rockies, he went to the kebab stand. It's like a dessert kebab stand at the Rockies game in full uniform and was dishing out treats and signing autographs for people. Which,
too cool.
Yeah, that is pretty cool.
Too cool.
We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, former 12-year soccer pro turned broadcaster extraordinaire. It is Jamie Watson next on The Fan.
Why does it feel like nobody really gives us the inside scoop? Join us on The Powers That Be, the podcast where insiders from Puck break down who has influence, how they use it, and what it actually means for you. New episodes every weekday. Listen to The Powers That Be wherever you get your podcasts.